You know, it's fascinating being an interim rabbi. You never know what's going to happen next. So when I was in Chester, Connecticut, for some reason, they were a very small congregation. They kept the Shabbat candles in the ark. And for Rosh Hashanah, the custodian put out the candlesticks, but not the candle. So what was an interim rabbi to do? I said, please rise as we take the candles out of the ark. Please be seated. So from what I understand, there's been a power surge. Alibi, you should have been here Friday night for the thunder and lightning special effects. And so we will let the show go on. But you either have a choice of doing that or everybody turning around and watching as they try to hit the right button up there. So if I'm at all distracted, oh, go ahead, everybody turn around and look. Okay, you can turn back now. Okay. For those of you that know me, let me assure you that this is not part of the sermon. Okay, so I'm going to start. We'll start. Unless you want me to tell you some more unusual stories. So, okay. So we'll do one last story as they're doing that. So it was very interesting being a rabbi in Long Island. 1 year after the sermon, people are concerned about the parking lot. About two-thirds of the congregation got up and left. I said I could either be an optimist or a pessimist. If I was a pessimist, I'd say, oh, my God, what did I say that I offended everybody? But I'm an optimist. So I know they're all going to tell their friends how much they enjoyed the sermon. Wow, this is wild. Okay. It's like five more minutes to stand up or start. Okay, so we'll start. So the year was 1989. And this is a story that involves three very dear friends of mine, Rabbi Deborah Hirsch, Rabbi Bernie Zlotowicz, and Marissa Greenberg. Now, Marissa was 3 years old. She and her family belonged to East End Temple. It's a small synagogue in Manhattan. Rabbi Hirsch was Marissa's very first rabbi. Now, in that era, only three women were senior rabbis in the 110 congregations in the greater New York region. So one day, Marissa and her mother were at Temple. Her mother comes from a very, very distinguished Jewish family. And she loved that Marissa was so connected because of her family's heritage. Marissa's mother said to her, you know, Grandpa Bernie is a rabbi. And Marissa responded with the innocence that only a three-year-old can. I didn't know that men could be rabbis. Okay, actually, that's where the story started. It's an old story, but I tell it well. Okay, maybe not that well. Rabbi Perlin served for 32 years. It's a machaya. All right, so let me start again. So, for those... I'm still on the screen. Hi, me. So anyway, y'all couldn't hear it. Y'all didn't want to hear it because of the noise. But there's this great story about Marissa Greenberg then. She actually lives here a couple miles from the temple. She was 3 years old, and she learned her grandfather was this amazing rabbi. Her mother said, Grandpa Bernie is a rabbi. And she said at three, I didn't know men could be rabbis. Okay, laugh again just a little bit. Oh. So Rabbi Perlin served for 32 years. And it's very different entering the High Holy Days without Rabbi Perlin on the bima. You and Rabbi Perlin built this incredible synagogue. She's the rabbi that's been here for generation after generation. Consecration, bar and bat mitzvah, confirmation, weddings, counseling, visiting those who are ill, bereavement, and her true passion for Jewish life. Everything at TBS, commitment to Jewish values, welcoming each person, and dedication to Jewish learning is a tribute to the dreams that you and she built together. And this is a time of transition, saying goodbye when you've had the same leader for 32 years, knowing that there'll be a new rabbi, but not exactly sure how things are going to unfold. And as we start a new year, not only is there change here at TBS, but it makes us conscious of change throughout our lives. For our youngest congregants, they go from preschool to the big school. You ever heard that? I love the big school. For seventh graders, it's the beginning with their families of bar and bat mitzvah as they become spiritual adults. For ninth graders, it's the move to high school. When you were small like me, that was terrifying. And life changes. Wedding, a birth, a divorce, death, retirement, changes with age. As a synagogue and in our lives, we each respond to change differently. Some of us are excited, it's a great new adventure. For others, it's difficult. Stability and order really center our lives. At this moment, we're like Moses and the Israelites. They left Egypt, traveled for 40 years, and came to a promised land. Tonight, I want to speak with you about the way of transition. We begin the way of transition with the words, live your dreams, live your values. The Torah described the journey. Wherever the people went, there was the presence of God, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. Imagine their security at each step along the way. In their midst, there was the Ark of the Covenant. They carried the symbol of the ideals, which would be the basis of Jewish life from then until now. Ideals and dreams are the foundations of TBS. Over the summer, Lynn Sprung and Neil Sider and I had 21 meet and greets. We were at homes of congregants throughout the area. I like to say I've gotten lost in some of the nicest places in Virginia. We met with over 200 congregants, founding members, sisterhood and brotherhood, interfaith families, support groups, committees, and Beastie, our senior youth group board, and even more. The first question that we asked at each gathering was, how did you come to TBS? What's your TBS story? The conversations were so moving. Now, I've served congregations all around the country, and I can't think of another synagogue where people have the depth of feeling about finding their congregation that they do at TBS. Hear their words. I felt incredibly welcomed when I came to TBS. People greeted me and talked to me from the beginning. Other places, no one spoke to me. TBS. I was at home. I felt accepted. We're an interfaith family. From the rabbis to other members, we felt included. No one judged us. It was an interfaith families group. It was bar mitzvah. It was bat mitzvah. Every bar bat mitzvah is personal. As I say the words, I look right there. where the kids start walking down the aisle. My family and friends couldn't believe it. And when we talked to the Beastie board, our teenagers, their hearts were overflowing as they spoke about standing here on the Bima when Rabbi Perlin talked to them quietly. For others, the rabbis were there to me. Rabbi Perlin spent hours with me and with my family when I needed her. I met Rabbi Mellon, Rabbi Nair, Rabbi Rappaport. Each was amazing. For some, it was services. As soon as I heard the music, TBS was where I wanted to be. The religious school. My kids love coming on Sunday. It wasn't that way when I was growing up. It's the community. Everyone at TBS volunteers. It's where my friends are. Sometimes, literally, it would take over an hour, 10, 15 people, as they told their stories, what brought them to the congregation and what inspired them through the years. The Israelites were led by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. TBS journeyed too, from homes to our church, Abiding Presence, to Old Ox Road. We didn't have the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. We had the Torah carried by the Levites in a golf bag. On each stop, though, along the way, was carried the values of acceptance, community, devotion to children, and love. The way of transition also means that there are endings. Last spring, as part of an ending, the congregation honored Rabbi Perlin. The tributes to Rabbi Perlin and Gary affirmed all of the years of love that you shared. Now, sometimes transitions, even at happy times, are just a bit bittersweet. Many parents dream of their kids going to summer camp, and particularly if it's a Jewish summer camp. But what if your child who wants to go to camp is the youngest and is only in third grade? That was the scene one January in New York. Young Abby was at Friday night services. She saw a presentation about the URJ Eisner camp. All the big kids went. She was hooked. All weekend, she tried to convince her mother, "Let me go to camp." Finally, late Sunday afternoon, these are the words she shared with her mother. "Mom, I want you to know, if you let me go to camp, you'll be doing what's best for me." I'm still friends with her today. For some, Rabbi Perlin's retirement is a joyous phase in life. For others who are very close, even though she'll be Rabbi Emerita, the transition will take more time. Each of us responds to endings in a different way. We can think of the different changes in our life. A senior's high school is at the top of the world. A circle of friends, leadership at sports teams, activities, the teacher's affirmation. Then all of a sudden, college starts, new classes. Feeling lost, everybody else seems to know each other. In our lives, the challenge of endings in a relationship, the death of a loved one, the changes in our bodies because of age, accident, or illness. Endings are a part of life. In the Torah, when Moses dies, it says, the Israelites mourn for Moses in the steppes of Moab for 30 days. Then the period of mourning for Moses came to an end. Joshua was filled with the wisdom of Moses because he laid his hands on him. The Israelites heeded him, doing as the Eternal commanded Moses. Endings are part of life, but we move through endings as we cherish the past, as we take the time that each of us needs, but as we stand on the shoulders of others, as we take that legacy and move to the future. The way of transition means that we become seekers. Does that sound cool? Don't you want to be a seeker? It's better than the words I started with. I told this to some of the meet and greets during the course of the 20. So I was speaking last spring at a congregation in Hollywood. Their rabbi was retiring after 30 years. And I'm thinking to myself, big synagogue in Hollywood. Wow, I've made it. So I figured, lavish images. I'm going to speak a language they can understand. So I made a PowerPoint. I love PowerPoints. And there was one side with a Tesla, a Corvette, a Harley, and a Cadillac SUV. American cars limited their options. I said, imagine you drove one car for the last 30 years, and now look at all the choices. I said, you've had the same rabbi for the last 30 years. Which car would your rabbi be? They said, our rabbi drives a Prius. I said, so much for Hollywood. There I go. So when Rabbi Rappaport and Rabbi Pearl and I were ordained, the options were very limited. Services were the same in every synagogue. And nobody talked about spirituality. All rabbis wore robes. It was only like small, medium, or large. So today, rabbis do Torah and sermons and counseling. But oh, is there so much more? There's Jewish mysticism, meditation, Twitter, visual tefillah, a more sophisticated way of inclusion, interfaith families, including people with disability, the LGBTQ community, the sacred aging, synagogue community organizing, and Torah yoga. Yes, I did Torah yoga for 4 days. It wasn't pretty. The experience of moving from the familiar to an open future occurs throughout our lives. Today, teenagers think of the myriad of choices that they have. And in our lives, we begin our education, we get a skill set, but man, how life can change. In a year, you could be at a new job that you had no dream of just a few months ago. At times, we're all seekers. The Torah in the book of Numbers has this amazing section. It talks about the travels of the Israelites to the promised land. And one Torah scroll I saw, it lists them out in order. And it says, they traveled from one place and they rested. They traveled and they rested. They traveled and they rested for all 40 stops on their journey. But each place they went, they saw a little bit about the next future. Seekers ask, who have we been? Who are we now? What are our dreams for the future? Community is the next practice of transition. We support each other. You know, at family services this summer, I always like asking kids questions. And so the question I asked was, what was something nice that you can do for somebody else? And that evening, it was incredible that all of the responses were around the same theme, about making a person feel welcome. One child said, sit with them on the bus. Another said, let them eat lunch with you. Another said, play with them at resource. It's hard being the new kid, but our children, the values you taught them are so beautiful. Be a friend. Reaching out helps our transition. You know, I think of two experiences. Again, first week of college, those with you sending off kids, their parties, their activities, or even classes. But you can think back to that kind of electric bond you had with a roommate or someone on your floor when you would go off together to find an activity. That moment, you felt secure as you explored the unknown. You know, as I was thinking about this, also what came to mind is the image when I would visit friends in the hospital as a rabbi seeing people. And the experience in the hospital was one of loneliness. But it's so very moving when a friend comes in from far away to visit to see a parent, a relative. You know, I think of 4 years ago when my mom was in rehab. You know, she's fine now. But the days that my cousins would come in and see her, man, she would talk about that afterwards for weeks. When a spouse sits with a husband or wife, when a friend comes to be with them, that is what the caring is all about. The way of transition is a way of community. At TBS, we're in this place of discovery over the next 2 years. And we're working to reach out to everyone. There's a transition committee. Haven't worked at other temples with a transition committee like this. There are activities to affirm our bonds of community. If you have questions, talk to the leaders of the temple. Anybody with the name badge. Talk to our staff. Talk to Rabbi Rappaport. Talk to me. You know, if things maybe fall through the cracks, call us again. Because it's all about sharing an adventure together. So finally, when synagogues are in the process of change, when they look to the future, I ask the big question. If a congregation wasn't here tomorrow, what would be the impact on the community? Would anybody know that they were gone? It's a great question, right? Where does it come from? So let me tell you, I was in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. It's not the name of the city, but it sounds like a city. I was traveling from one interim congregation to another late June. And there in the middle of Indiana, I had a choice. There were 11 TV channels, four of them were evangelical stations. So I happened to come on to a pastor that talked about how his congregation grew from 20 to over 2,000 people. And he said, the question I asked was, what can we offer the entire community so that if we weren't there tomorrow, people would notice? You know, at KM Isaiah Israel in Chicago, it's a unique congregation because the entire Jewish community moved north, and they're the synagogue that stayed, where it's a largely African-American community. If they weren't there, you would know that they were gone. I believe that every person in every congregation has a gift to bring to the world. And TBS is about incredible gifts. You know, it's a school where you all are the teachers. It doesn't happen other places. We're bar and bat mitzvah, we're post-confirmation, where people love to come, where there are values that shape their lives, where virtually everybody continues. It's a spirit where people feel welcome and accepted. You know, in a world where people don't volunteer, TBS is all about volunteers, all of you that made everything happen. And I have never seen another place where on a Friday night, everything is set up for a family dinner, and all of the families not only serve, but clean up and then reset the room for Friday night services. What an amazing thing. There's a commitment to caring here with Mitzvah Day and the crop walk and so much more. It's a place where everyone feels at home. Just look at the tapestries. Look around you at the people. Look at what TBS is. And so as we look to the future, for ourselves or people or any time, I ask, what will we share with the world as we look for 5, 10, or 20 years? As TBS has shared incredible gifts and is a model, what will the new adventures be? What is it that will bring joy, that will excite us? It will open our hearts and our souls so that we feel the divine energy of the world. In 5779, may we be blessed. May we be blessed with the wonders of our community. May we be blessed going out and coming in again. May we be blessed as seekers who walk together on our life journey. May we be blessed as we care for one another. May we be blessed as we share our gifts with the world. Shana Tova.